It was 172 AD when the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius launched a military campaign against a Germanic tribe known as the Quadi. And according to historians, it was during this campaign when a legion of Roman soldiers, now known as the Thundering Legion, they found themselves surrounded by a superior Quadi force. And not only were they outnumbered, they were also on the verge of surrender simply because they were suffering from dehydration. Cassius Dio even declared that the Romans were in a terrible plight from fatigue, wounds, the heat of the sun, and thirst. So, could neither fight nor retreat, but were standing at the line, scorched by the heat, when suddenly many clouds gathered and a mighty rain, not without divine interposition, burst upon them. The second century historian by the name of Tertullian also reported how, just as the Roman legion was ready to die from a lack of water, there suddenly came a great storm. Tertullian talked about that great storm, and he told us about how the rain came down in torrents so that the Roman soldiers were provided with hydrating refreshment. And not only hydrating refreshment, but the lightning flashes of the thunderstorm also terrified their enemies, who then turned and fled. Tertullian also revealed that the captain of this legion, well, he attributed the miracle of the rain to the invoking prayers of the Christian soldiers who filled his company. And according to tradition, the emperor had the Christian soldiers summoned before him because he desired that they should pray to their God for him. This morning we find ourselves at the end of an 8-week series on the subject of spiritual warfare titled Winning the War Against Wickedness. We began this series from Ephesians 6 by first considering our need to recognize a few key principles about the spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. And we began this series by first recognizing that our authority as soldiers in the Lord's army comes from Jesus Christ, our commander in chief. We also considered how our adversary is the devil, and the devil has methods of deception and minions of demons. But we also saw how we've been given spiritual armaments. And we recognize that these spiritual armaments have been specifically designed to help us to win this war against wickedness. Then it was in our second study that we began to examine these spiritual armaments. And we began by studying the belt of truth. We saw how the belt of truth, it fixes our focus, it secures our strength, and it readies our response. Then we saw how the breastplate of righteousness was designed to cover our core, to compound our courage, and confirm our calling in the Lord's army. After studying the breastplate of righteousness, we considered how the shoes of stability were designed to fashion our feet for the fight, establish our stance against Satan's schemes, and correct our course with the peace of God. Then we saw how the shield of faith was designed to protect our position on the battlefield, deflect the deceptions of the devil and his demons, and then connect our congregation by helping us to fight the good fight of faith together. Then we examined how the helmet of salvation, it forms our philosophy so that we can think straight on the battlefield. It defines our defense so we can recognize the attacks of the enemy, and it holds our hope so that we're able to hold the line by trusting in the salvation of our Savior. Then in our study last week, we saw how the sword of the Spirit, it equips the elect to win this war with the Word of God. It separates the soldiers so that everyone knows what side we're standing on, and then it tames the temptation so that we can overcome every sin. Well, that brings us to our final study today. And as we continue our study of Ephesians chapter 6, this morning we're going to examine the importance of invoking help from God Almighty. We must understand the importance of invoking help or praying to God and asking Him for the intelligence that we need to continue to fight the good fight of faith. And here in our text today, we'll discover that we must spend time invoking God for His help in order to receive His infinite intelligence, the intelligence that we need to win this war against wickedness. And so the first thing that we'll consider from our text today is how invocation provides us with strategic intelligence. The second thing that we'll consider in our study this morning is how invocation provides us with operational intelligence. And finally, in our study this morning, we'll consider how invocation also provides us with tactical intelligence. And so with this as our outline, let's jump into this first point and let's consider how prayers of invocation provide us with strategic intelligence. We should begin by first understanding that every military spends time gathering strategic intelligence from a variety of sources. And this intel, including information like the size of an opposing army, their available weaponry, as well as their foreign policy standards, this intel is designed to help military strategists to form a strategy for standing against that enemy. Well, with this in mind, we must consider how Paul directed us. He directed Christians to seek the strategic intelligence that God has for us through spending time in prayer. We must seek that strategic intelligence so that we can win this war against wickedness and overcome those sinful temptations that we all face every day. And so let's check out Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin again in verse 10 where Paul declared, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always, with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit." Now let's stop right here, because as we consider the importance of strategic intelligence, we must understand that the intel about any given enemy, well, it's only as good as its source. And with this in mind, we must understand that opposing armies will oftentimes spread disinformation in order to confound their foe and cover up their real intentions. It's for this reason that military intelligence officers will always examine the integrity of the intel that they've been given before forming a strategy against that enemy. They want to know, is this intel correct? Is it good? Is it solid? It's for this reason that intelligence officers are constantly seeking a source of military information that can be trusted. They want information that can be trusted so that tough decisions can be made and that good strategies can be formed. Here in our text today, Paul revealed that we have such a source. That as we fight this good fight of faith, we have the best source of strategic information, strategic intelligence possible. And that source is the Holy Spirit. Check out the beginning of verse 18 again, where Paul insisted that we ought to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now understand for a second here that word prayer can refer to a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks that's addressed to God. And listen, when we find ourselves surrounded by the enemies of God, and when we find ourselves under spiritual attack, when it feels like the dark claws of the devil's demons are digging straight into our very souls, the best thing that we can do at that point in time is start praying in the Spirit. We must pray in the Spirit in order to gain the strategic intelligence that we need to fight this good fight of faith. We need strategic intelligence about what the enemy is trying to do in our lives so that we can then understand what he's doing and form a strategy against it based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Check out verse 18 again, where Paul tells us that we should be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Here in this verse, Paul seems to be implying that there's more than one kind of prayer. And there's more than one kind of way that we can pray. For example, consider the results of one survey that revealed how 90% of the adults in America say that they pray every day. The same report revealed that half of these people, they're praying more than once a day. 90% of the people in the world are praying every day, and almost half of them are praying at least twice a day. I saw a billboard once that said, try prayer, it works. Just general prayer. Just pray. Pray, it works. As I consider this, I'm led to ask the question, is God listening to all of these prayers? Is He really planning to answer every single prayer that every single person prays? Well, in order to answer this question, hold your place here in Ephesians 6 and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And as you turn to Proverbs chapter 1, I want to spend a moment considering the way that some people abuse the privilege of prayer. For example, consider how many people choose to go out and engage in the wickedness of a premarital or extramarital affair. And as they do, they're praying. They're invoking help from God and they're asking God, oh Lord, protect me from STDs. Oh Lord, protect me from unwanted pregnancies. And yet I must ask, is God listening to that prayer? Is God listening to the person who's praying, oh Lord, you know, I'm stepping out in sin. Please protect me from any repercussions of it. How about the people who go out on the town engaging in the wickedness of drunkenness, and then as they get into their car and prepare to drive home drunk, they ask God, oh Lord, please help me, keep me from getting into a wreck, or keep me from receiving a DUI. I must ask, is God really ready to respond to their request? Or what about the person who's stealing from their employer? And as they continue to engage in this corporate corruption, they're praying, oh, Lord, keep me from getting caught. Don't let me get caught and go to prison. And yet I wonder, is God really going to protect them from a prison sentence as they continue to engage in their wickedness? Well, in order to answer these questions, we should consider the writings of King Solomon found here in Proverbs chapter 1. Because here, beginning at verse 23, Solomon revealed how God refuses to listen to them who don't listen to Him. Look at Proverbs 1:23, where he writes, turn at my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, and when your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Christian, listen, the Holy Spirit has already provided us with basic strategic intelligence. You know where it's found? It's found in the Word of God. The Lord has already given us basic strategic intelligence. And when the Word of God says, don't do this, don't turn around and set out and do it and then say, oh Lord, please protect me from any repercussions. God's not listening to that prayer. If you're invoking help from God and you're asking Him to protect you as you continue in wickedness, then you must understand He's not listening. And He's not going to provide you with the information you need and the protection you need to continue in that. No, He'll watch and allow you to reap the rotten fruit of your choices. Therefore, we must understand that if we're going to win this war against wickedness, if we're going to overcome the sinful temptations that we face every day, then we must learn how to spend time praying in the Spirit according to the strategic intelligence that God has already given us. And in order to further understand what this might look like, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And as you turn to Romans chapter 8, I must point out that there are those who think that praying in the Spirit is a reference to the gift of tongues. And they'll argue that praying in the Spirit means that you're praying in words that can't be understood by the average person. Now, let me say this. I totally believe that there are some Christians who have been given the gift of tongues. It's not the sign of true salvation. It's just one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit might distribute to His children. So I don't believe that this reference to praying in the Spirit is a general reference to the gift of tongues, but I do believe that praying in the Spirit is necessary. It is important for every single believer. And here in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 26, Paul gives us a little more insight as to what it means to actually pray in the Spirit. Here in Romans 8:26, Paul tells us that the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Well, here in these verses, Paul revealed that apart from the Spirit's help, we really don't even know what to pray for. We oftentimes think that we do. We think that we know what we should be praying for. For example, when we find ourselves facing various trials, our first knee-jerk reaction prayer is just to ask God, "Hey, God, remove the trial. I don't like what I'm going through here. Can you fix this situation for me?" And yet we might do better to just take the time to pray, "God, can you show me why I'm going through this trial? Or can you give me the strength to make it through this trial?" I mean, there's so many prayers that we could pray about the trial itself that our first one is just, "God, remove it." But there might be a better prayer to pray. We don't know what to pray for. So sometimes it might just help to just say, "Oh, Lord, guide me through your Spirit so that I know how to pray for this." When we find ourselves suffering through emotion or physical pain, our first prayer is, "Oh, Lord, heal me. Touch my body. Make me feel better." That's just our first prayer. That's our first reaction. We don't want to feel that way. But we don't know that. It might be better to just ask God, "Lord, can you give me direction through this? Maybe you're trying to show me a pain so that I can comfort somebody else." We don't know what to pray for. Maybe we've lost a job or we find ourselves facing some sort of financial deficit, and the first thing that we pray is, "Oh, Lord, give me money." And yet, we might need to be spending some time in prayer asking God, "Lord, are you trying to show me that I've been unfaithful with what you've given me so far?" The point I'm trying to make is simply this. We typically don't know what we should be praying for. And so if we're just constantly going with our first reaction, our knee-jerk reaction, and praying for what we want, a lot of times we might find ourselves praying in the flesh rather than in the Spirit. Therefore, as we take the time to pray, a lot of times I'll just sit there and just say, "Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. Can you guide me?" And as I wait on Him, the Spirit is interceding for me and begins to reveal to me in words that can't even be uttered, meaning I can't utter them out of my mouth. But then as the Lord brings me those ideas, those thoughts into my head, then I can pray accordingly. And as the Spirit reveals in a supernatural way, in an inaudible way, as the Spirit reveals to me what I ought to be praying for, then I can pray in the Spirit according to the will of God. As we wait on the Lord in prayer, the Spirit guides us with those groanings that Paul was talking about. That word groaning, it actually speaks of an internal whisper that can't be uttered. So the Spirit just begins to whisper to us in our minds. That still small voice that the Lord is trying to speak to us through. And then we can pray according to that still small voice. And the Lord guides us by providing us with strategic intelligence so that we can pray in the Spirit and understand what His instructions and directions are for us so that we continue to fight the good fight of faith and win the war against wickedness. And so if we want to win this war against wickedness, we must spend time praying in the Spirit, because invocation provides us with the strategic intelligence that we need. Not only that, but here in our text, Paul also revealed how invocation also provides us with operational intelligence. Now, I should point out that while strategic intelligence has more to do with the general practice and importance of gathering intelligence, operational intelligence is more focused on the intelligence that's needed for a specific operation. For example, the intelligence that the military gathered before engaging in Operation Iraqi Freedom, well, that was a lot different from the intel that was gathered before engaging in Operation Desert Storm. Different time periods, different locations to a certain degree, different militaries to a certain degree. We can't just go into a second operation based on the information that we gathered during the first operation. We need intelligence specifically and according to the operation that we're entering into. It's in similar fashion that the Lord has also called us into a campaign that's called the Great Commission. But your operation within the Great Commission and my operation within the Great Commission might be a little different. The group that you're being sent in to reach and the group that I'm being sent in to reach, they might be different groups. And so we need different intelligence. With that being the case, we must understand the importance of spending time praying in the Spirit, continually asking God for detailed intelligence that pertains to the specific missions that we're all called to. And here in Ephesians 6, verse 18, we see how Paul called us to continually gather this operational intelligence by invoking God through prayer. Here in Ephesians 6, 18, Paul tells us to keep praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Here in this verse, we find Paul presenting four details about the spiritual prayers that we should be praying, beginning with the detail of the duration of our prayers. And I'm not talking about how long we pray. I'm not saying that you got to wake up in the morning and say at least a 30-minute prayer or else you can't leave the house. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying if you don't pray at least an hour a day, then you're totally unspiritual and carnal. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the duration of our prayers in the sense of how long we pray, but the duration of our prayers in the sense that we're continually praying. Here's what I mean. Look at verse 18 again, because there Paul declared that we should be praying always. This phrase, praying always, it means that we're constantly connecting with God through prayer. Now, the word always, it comes from a Greek word that refers to every measure of time, regardless of how little or how much. Therefore, Paul is telling us that we should be praying in the Spirit, no matter if you have a little time or a whole lot of time. In other words, Paul was encouraging us to live our lives with a constant connection with God, seeking those little opportunities or those large opportunities to just connect with Him. Therefore, if you're at the doctor's office and you're there waiting for a long time and you're just sitting there wondering what you should do, don't reach for that dirty old magazine that's sitting there. It's been sitting there since 1987 about, you know, gardening or something, and you thumb through it. Don't waste your time with that magazine. Why not take that time in the doctor's office as you're waiting just to pray? Pray for your own condition of why you might be there, or pray for the other people there in the waiting room, or pray for your family that's somewhere else altogether. Take that time to pray. Connect with God in prayer. Maybe you're sitting on I-35 in rush hour traffic and it's going nowhere very fast. Don't sit there and turn on the radio and start flipping around for your favorite song. Take that time to pray. Pray for the people that are sitting in cars around you, the ones that are banging on their steering column and getting all frustrated. Pray for them, that the Lord might use that time to reach them. Or pray for yourself if you're getting frustrated. Or pray for people here in our church or in your family. Take that time to connect with God and pray. When you wake up in the morning, maybe you just have a few minutes before you got to rush out the door. Pray. Take that time to seek God for the operational intelligence that you need before you walk out that door and face the enemy. When you're faced by those demanding daily decisions, take that moment to just say a quick word of prayer. There's a decision that needs to be made right then and there, and it just kind of popped on you. Just take a second. Lord, just guide me here. Give me the intelligence that I need to enter into this operation and fulfill it according to your will. Simply put, we ought to be spending time every day connecting with God in prayer. Pray with Him when you have a little bit of time. Pray with Him when you have a lot of time. Just pray. Take the time to seek the operational intelligence that we need to continue to walk in the Spirit. And so according to Paul, we must pray constantly. Constantly connecting with God. Not only that, but he also encourages us to pray specifically. Look at verse 18 again, where Paul tells us that we should be praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, I must point out that this word all, in the Greek, it literally means all. That's crazy. He's talking about all, every kind of prayer we ought to be praying. The word all there, it refers to some of every kind. It speaks of all manner of, or every sort of. Every sort of prayer and supplication we ought to be praying. Therefore, when Paul encouraged us to pray always with all prayer, he was encouraging us to connect with God with all sorts of different kinds of prayers. We ought to be praying for our health. We ought to be praying for our wealth. We ought to be praying for our house. We ought to be praying for our spouse. We ought to be praying for everything. All sorts of prayers. Then he continued to say all prayer and supplication. That word supplication, it refers to just prayer requests in general. The requests that we bring before the Lord. Lord, can you help me with this? Lord, can you provide me with that? Now, as we consider what Paul is saying here when he encourages us to pray always with all prayer and supplication, he's simply encouraging us to pray about everything. Pray specifically about the events in your life. Pray specifically about people that have hurt you or people that you might have hurt. Pray specifically about situations that you find yourself in at work or at home. Pray specifically about what's going on in your life. And in that, ask God for the operational intelligence that you need to respond to those situations and scenarios. Now, in order to better understand what this might look like, hold your place here in Ephesians 6 and turn to Philippians chapter 4. And as you turn to Philippians 4, I want to consider how specific prayers are necessary if we're going to win this war against wickedness. You see, the enemy is always attempting to catch us off guard and force our hand into making quick and carnal decisions based on limited information. And when we do, we oftentimes make those decisions that bring us back into a lifestyle of sin, and next thing you know, we're backsliding and living in wickedness. Therefore, instead of allowing the enemy to trick us into making these quick and carnal decisions, we should take the time to seek God's operational intelligence by praying specifically about everything. This is exactly what Paul is suggesting here in Philippians 4. So look there at verse 6 where Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing." Don't let the anxiety of the enemy trick you into making these quick and carnal decisions. No, just be anxious for nothing. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Simply put, we must spend time praying specifically about everything that's going on in our lives. And as we do, the Lord will then protect our minds from the lies of the enemy who wants to fill our minds with anxiety so that we're making these quick and carnal decisions. Rather, we ought to take the time. Don't be anxious. Pray. Trust that the Lord will give you the intelligence that you need as you need it. And with that operational intelligence, the Lord guards our minds and He guards our hearts from the anxiety of the enemy. So in order to gain the operational intelligence that we need, we just need to pray constantly. Pray about everything. We need to pray specifically. And furthermore, we need to pray watchfully. Look again at verse 18. There in verse 18, Paul tells us that we should be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. This word watchful, it means to keep constant vigilance over something. Being watchful, it means to be cautious, to be attentive, and to be ready. So Paul's telling us here that we must be on guard as we spend time in prayer. As we spend time praying in the Spirit, we must stand guard. Christian, listen, as we spend time in prayer, our flesh wants to distract us. You're sitting there 1 minute, "Oh Lord, I just pray that, that Lord, you would just touch my life in this area. And I wonder what the Colts are doing today. And I wonder if the Cowboys are going to win. And what's for lunch?" And be on guard against your own carnality that would distract you while you pray. But even worse, and what we need to be on guard against even more, is that the enemy wants to fill your mind with thoughts that aren't godly thoughts as you pray. As you're praying, the enemy wants to come and answer your prayers. The enemy wants to come along and give you something that you think is God's answer, but it's not. You need to be on guard against that. It's for this reason that the Apostle John encouraged every believer to test every spirit. I hear people talking about all kinds of spirituality. I hear people talking about how spiritual they are, and as they talk and I listen to them, I'm thinking, that's not God's spirit. That's the spirit of Antichrist. John tells us, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are spirits who are out there wanting to deceive us in our prayer time. And they want to whisper answers to our prayers. And I've heard people coming in for counseling, and they say, "Well, I prayed about it, and God said this." And I'll sit there and go, but the Bible says this. And what you heard and what this says are contradictory. I can't tell you how many times someone has never minded the Bible and followed after the voice that they heard, the answer to the prayer that they received. Be on guard. Be watchful, because the enemy wants to deceive you by answering your prayers. When we spend our time in prayer, we must make sure that we're cautiously standing guard against the deceitful thoughts that are whispered by the devil's demons. And in order to do this, we must compare every thought that enters into our mind as we pray. We must compare those thoughts to the operational intelligence that we find in God's Word. And then when we find things that contradict God's Word, we must reject the false thoughts. So in order to gain operational intelligence that we need to win this war against wickedness, we must pray constantly, we must pray specifically, we must pray watchfully, and finally, we must pray patiently. Look again at verse 18, where Paul tells us to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now understand that this word perseverance, it means to wait on constantly. Simply put, perseverance, it speaks of patient endurance. And the word supplication, again, it refers to those petitions or those requests that we bring before God. And as we consider both of these words together, we should consider that there are times when we're asking God for operational intel. And we want that operational intel from God. For example, consider this. Maybe you're praying about whether you're supposed to join some ministry here at the church, or maybe you're praying about whether you're supposed to step down from a ministry here at the church. You need operational intelligence for that. Maybe you're praying about quitting your job, or maybe you're praying about moving to another city. You need operational intelligence for that too. Maybe you're praying about the possibility of entering into a relationship with one person or ending a relationship with another person, and you need operational intelligence for these decisions. And as we pray for these various things that are happening in our lives, as we bring every prayer before the Lord, many Christians grow impatient waiting for that operational intel. And rather than waiting for the intelligence from God, they just go ahead and start making some decisions. They get anxious, they move forward without the intel that they need. I've seen many Christians make huge mistakes because they refuse to be patient in their praying. Paul encourages us here to pray, and not just pray, but to keep praying with patient endurance. Perseverance and supplication. Keep requesting and keep patiently requesting and patiently endure in your continual requesting until you get an answer from God. And sometimes that answer is yes. Sometimes that answer is no. And sometimes that answer is continue waiting. Whatever it is, don't move forward without the operation intelligence that we need from God. That way we won't make huge mistakes simply based on a lack of intelligence. So listen, if we want to win this war against wickedness, we must spend time praying in the Spirit. Because invocation, it provides us with the strategic intelligence that we need so that we might gain an infinite perspective of the enemy that we're facing. Invocation also provides us with the operational intelligence that we need so that as we pray constantly, specifically, watchfully, and patiently, God then begins to give us His infinite intelligence so that we can make good and godly decisions. Finally, we must consider our invocation also provides us with tactical intelligence. Now, tactical intelligence is an extension of operational intelligence, with the main difference being that tactical intelligence focuses specifically on factors which may influence the tactics on the battlefield. In other words, tactical intelligence is typically gathered in the field while operations are being carried out. And the reason why this is so important is due to the fact that the enemy is always adjusting their plan of attack. They're always altering their assaults in order to catch us off guard and overcome us. So a good military commander, he's always constantly gathering current intel from a reconnaissance team in the field, as well as updated intelligence packages from their senior officers at the base. With this in mind now, we should consider how Paul is also interested that we as Christians would gather tactical intelligence while we're in the field. And he presents us with the way that he was going about that here in Ephesians 6. Let's begin again at verse 18, because here Paul encouraged us to pray for him while he was engaging the enemy. Here in Ephesians 6:18, Paul tells us to continue praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, as we read these verses, I must remind you again that Paul was behind enemy lines. And not only that, but Paul was under arrest in Rome as he penned this letter. Paul was under arrest. He was in prison. He was a prisoner of war, so to speak. And yet Paul didn't see himself as a prisoner of war, but rather a prisoner of Christ. He called himself an ambassador in chains there in verse 20. You see, Paul recognized that the true prisoners, the true POWs in this situation, it wasn't him, it was the unbelievers that he was chained to. He wasn't the POW, they were the POWs. With this in mind, let me explain what I mean. Hold your place here in Ephesians 6 and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to take a moment to remind you that unbelievers, they're not our enemies, but rather prisoners of war. We oftentimes forget that because unbelievers are constantly carrying out the will of the devil. And it can feel like they are the enemy, but really they're just POWs who are serving Satan as they serve themselves. But they're not our enemies. The devil and his demons, they are our enemies, and we must never forget that. And with this in mind here in 2 Timothy 2, beginning there at verse 24, Paul told Timothy that a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Christian, listen, we find ourselves every day behind enemy lines. And as a result, we find ourselves surrounded by people who have been taken captive by the devil. Prisoners of war, who oftentimes are serving Satan out of ignorance. It's for this reason that we must seek God in prayer. We must seek tactical intelligence from God every day, invoking His help so that we might fight the good fight of faith against the enemy of God and not against the enemy's POWs. We have to make that distinction and understand that the battle is against the devil and his demons, not against those who have been taken captive. This is exactly what Paul asked the Christians in Ephesus for, as he asked, "Pray for me. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." He's asking the Christians in Ephesus to pray for him that he would understand the battle before him, that he would understand the tactics that God wanted him to employ as he found himself chained to the POWs of the devil. How should I speak to these people? How should I reach these Roman soldiers? How should I present them with the gospel so they can hear it, so they can receive it, and so that they can be saved by it? I believe that Paul and the Christians in Ephesus, I believe that their prayers were answered. I believe that God answered their prayers and gave Paul the tactical intelligence that he needed to reach those Roman soldiers. And I'll show you how I know that. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. As you turn back to Philippians chapter 4, we must understand that Paul always took the time to greet the believers in the area where the book was, or the letter was being sent. And here at the end of this letter to the church in Philippi, Paul took the time to greet those who were serving in the household of Caesar. Check out Philippians 4, verse 21. Paul writes, "Greet every saint in Christ. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household." You see, Paul's hanging out at Caesar's household. He's chained to Roman soldiers. He's under arrest with Roman soldiers who had become believers. Christian Roman soldiers. Roman soldiers who were sending greetings to the church there in Philippi. Possibly Christians they had never met. But they knew that their connection was through Christ. And so we see that within Caesar's household that there were believers, Roman soldiers who had become Christians as they found themselves chained to the greatest evangelist that ever lived. We should consider then how those Roman soldiers who were Christians continue to preach the gospel as well. As a matter of fact, consider how in our opening story, when I talked about the miracle of rain, there was a Roman legion there in the second century that was filled with Christian soldiers. Christian soldiers who were praying to God and making an impact on the world. That provides us with at least circumstantial evidence that suggests that Paul had been successful in reaching the Roman soldiers that he had been chained to, and that they had continued in the mission of making disciples. We can also conclude that Paul's prayers for tactical intelligence had been answered. He had received the tactical intelligence that he needed so that he could open his mouth with boldness and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ while in chains there in Rome, so that even his message reached into Caesar's own household. In similar fashion, we too must take the time. As Christians, we must take the time invoking help from God, praying and asking Him to help us to win this war against wickedness, not only in our own lives by overcoming the sinful temptations that we all face, but in the lives of the unbelievers around us, as we've been sent in with the Great Commission to take the gospel message and set the captives free. And the Lord wants to provide us with tactical intelligence that we need to then distinguish between the true enemies of God and our enemies, prisoners of war. And then after receiving this intelligence, this intel from God, we can then open our mouths with boldness and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that those who have been taken captive might be set free from their spiritual bondage by faith in Jesus Christ. When it comes to this war against wickedness, we must understand that there's no way we're going to win it. Not every day. We're not going to win this war against wickedness. We're going to continue to stumble back into our sinful habits. We're going to continue to struggle with our sinful desires. We're going to continue to not take the time to reach the unbelievers around us. We'll continue in all of these struggles until we start invoking help from God. We will continue to walk in the flesh and fulfill the lust of the flesh until we start taking the time to invoke help from God. Therefore, we must spend time every day praying in the Spirit so that we might gain the spiritual intelligence that we need. Because it's through invocation that we're provided with the strategic intelligence that we need to gain an infinite perspective of the enemy that we're facing. And it's through constant and specific and watchful and patient invocation that we're provided with the operational intelligence that we need to make those daily decisions that could change the entire course of our life. And finally, it's through invocation that God provides us with the tactical intelligence that we need so that we can make a distinction between the enemy and the enemy's prisoners. And then, on the battlefield, with the love of Christ in our hearts and the gospel message on our lips, we can win this war against wickedness and we can accomplish the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.